Let us pray. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, creator of evening and morning, endings and beginnings, we praise thee for those things which have brought us to this moment in our lives, noble examples of mercy and caring, the sacrificial support of parents, spouses, and friends, insightful eyes which saw the dawn of promise in us when we could see only the dust of the present, loving, strong hands which help restore the broken pieces of our life story. And now that the years of labor have come to their fruition and the moment of achievement has come, we thank thee, Lord, for the undeserved mercy which goes before and follows after as we step with trembling anticipation into the path of service. We are grateful, O God, to be thy people, thy servants, to be informed by thy love, called by thy grace. Deliver us, therefore, from frantically serving ourselves. Rather, give substance for our hopes and the courage to dream noble dreams, that through us the light and love of Jesus Christ may yet build thy kingdom. So disturb us by the sight of poverty and hunger, the awareness of injustice, that we will devote our strength to the aid of others. Hasten the day, O Lord, when justice shall reign and spears be turned into plows and peace shall prevail. So move our hearts by the needs of the world which thou hast created and loved, that we will be compelled to proclaim hope to the bereaved, courage to the defeated, assurance to the anxious, trust and confidence to those who walk fearsome and unknown paths. O thou who dwellest beyond the reaches of the morning, yet who dost not leave us without thy presence, deepen us by thy Holy Spirit until our yearning is opened before thee as a book and is shaped by thy will. Deepen us by the weight of our need until we can see thy mercy working through even that which we lack. Deepen us by the love thou dost bear us until the very flesh of our bodies, the thoughts of our minds, the works of our hands, and the prayers of our souls, both now and hereafter, are sanctified by thy grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 9. May we attend to the reading of his word. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then take heed lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Hear now the reading of Holy Scripture as it is found in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 4, verses 1 and following. Seeing then that we have been entrusted with this commission, which we owe entirely to God's mercy, we never lose heart. We have renounced the deeds that human beings hide for very shame. We neither practice cunning nor distort the word of God. Only by declaring the truth openly do we commend ourselves. And then it is to the common conscience of our fellow humans and in the sight of God. And if indeed our gospel be found veiled, the only people who find it so are those on the way to perdition. Their unbelieving minds are so blinded by the God of this passing age that the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the very image of God, cannot dawn upon them and bring them light. It is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the same God who said, "Out of darkness let light shine," has caused his light to shine within us to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are no better than pots of earthenware to contain this treasure, and this proves that such transcendent power does not come from us, but is God's alone. Hard-pressed on every side, we are never hemmed in. Bewildered, we are never at our wits' end. Hunted, we are never abandoned to our fate. Struck down, we are not left to die. Wherever we go, we carry death with us in our body, the death that Jesus died, that in this body also life may reveal itself, the life that Jesus lives. For continually, while still alive, we are being surrendered into the hands of death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be revealed in this mortal body of ours. Thus, death is at work in us and life in you.
We had a theory, and you folks happily have blown it, and that's okay. The theory was that if we had a commencement exercise in December and graduate upwards of 100 students, that all of you this May could find a place to be seated. And that hasn't proven to be the case. But if you are standing, we want you, if you can, please, to find a place. It's going to be a while before we're all finished, and it's a long time to stand. There are seats that Mrs. Weathers and the marshals are working diligently to try to get available for you. And if you will be willing to come maybe down here, close to the front, and even into the choir area where the faculty are seated, you will find a place. And hopefully all of you can be seated. That was our desire. Now, some of the faculty and I have done a bit of research. We thought, as we welcomed you to this commencement exercise, we ought to let you know why it is so hot. Now, if you looked at your paper today, you know what the temperature was predicted to be. And you know that you're already hotter than that. And it's going to be worse yet before we're all finished. But you know what one of our faculty found? He did great research and discovered that each one of you, during this hour or so we're in here, will emit the heat equal to a 100-watt bulb burning. Now, if you multiply 100 watts by 2,000 people, You folks are going to create 200,000 watts of heat. Now, I remind you, the Lord said, be the light of the world. Now, what are you going to do about that? But we welcome you. We solemnly do, and gladly so. This period in May since 1954 has been occasioned with a weekend that has had in it all the joy and celebration that a commencement program ought to have. And we want you to enjoy it. Have a good time. Some of you have worked very long and very hard alongside these graduates for just this magic moment. So seize it. It won't return, and make the most of it. We welcome you to graduation 1982 on behalf of the 208 seniors who will be receiving their diplomas today. Now, one of the things that we do traditionally is that we recognize you who are the investors in our graduates, their families, their spouses, their friends, the members of their churches, perhaps other categories that I've overlooked. But if you are identified in any of these ways with one of our graduates, momentarily, when that person receives his or her diploma, we want you to stand while that person is coming to receive the diploma and thus celebrate with the graduate this good day. Thus, with the stage set, we are ready to confer degrees upon candidates approved for graduation by the faculty.
Will the candidates for the Associate of Divinity degree please stand? President Lawley.
Dean Ashcraft.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all the requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the Associate of Divinity degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Associate of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, please, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
Juliet N. Alston. Clifford G. Anderson. Miriam Derber Barringer. Linda Proctor Benson. Ronald Creston Benson. Mary Lucille Brooks. James A. Carlson. Lemon Francis Clark. Jean Ann Elville. David Eugene Fleming. Larry Wayne Foster. Warren Lee Grant. Donald Wayne Griffin. Phyllis Meade Klein. Philip Glenn Knott. Jerry D.D. Lawson. David Samuel Lewis. James Michael Lyles. Ruth Tester McNabb. Ronald Brian Matthews. David L. Nunn. John M. Peverett. John M. Phillips. Nicholas Burroughs Player, Sr. Christine Tyree Pruitt. Edward Charles Revel. Garland Roger Schluter. Nesbitt Ellswood Spruill. Michael White. Linda K. Webb Williams. George D. Wilmore. Will the candidates for the Master of Religious Education degree please stand? President Lawley. I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Religious Education, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Religious Education, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, please, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
Francis Noveen McManus. Elizabeth Barnett Puckett. Deborah Carol Thigpen. Evelyn Janine Turin. Martha Carolyn Vertrice. Janice L. Watson. Joanne O'Quinn Westbury. Will the candidates for the Master of Divinity degree please stand? President Lawley. I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, please, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
Susan K. Abbott. Nelson Samuel Amos. John Delos Ashworth. Darrell Brantley Bear. Virginia C. Barfield. John David Barrett. Archie Eugene Barringer. Pamela Ship Bass. Stephen Michael Bass. Carol Hill Baston. Van Duane Battle. June Marie Bean. Karen Lee Beatty. Randall Dean Blackman, Sr. Kenneth Allen Bowes. Theron Eugene Bohr. June Hubbard Bolton. Neil Du Bois Booth. Kenneth Earl Bradshaw. Jacqueline Evers Brown. Frances Louise Brown. Danny Wayne Bullock. Kelly Jackson Burris. John Michael Carson. Tony Walter Cartledge. Ronnie Brady Cheek. Brian James Chestnut. Doris Farrell Coker. William Buford Cole. Anne Marie Nelson Collins. Dennis Ray Collins. Janet Lee Connell. Robert Lawson Cook. James Howard Cooley. Nathan Ansel Couch. Jimmy Lee Coyle. Clifford Vernon Craig, Jr. Roger Dale Crump. William Edward Cummings. John Randolph Daniels. James Larry Davis. Carl Brandon Dean. William Bruce Dickerson. Kenneth Dixon. Denise Marie Donovan. James Estes Dykes. Timothy Scott Eames. Joel William Elder in absentia. Ronald Arthur Elville. Eugene Fawcett. Michael Ray Fitzgerald. Elton Taylor Frost. William Durward Fryer, Jr. Steve Gandy. David Larry Gilbreath. David Herbert Goodrow. Paul Charles Grubbs. John Mitchell Hackworth. David Alton Hall. Raymond Wilbur Hamrick. Carrie Glenn Hancock. Anthony Craig Hardy. Clifford Scott Harrell. Lane Dyke Harris. J. Shelton Hartley. David Allen Hawkins. Daniel Robert Hedgepeth. Robert Christopher Hefner. Carolyn Dalton Helms. Henry Best Herring. William H. Hild. Janet K. Hinton. Charles Eugene Hodges. Eunice Gates Holbert. Chester Henry Holmes. Robert Coleman Horton. George Kenneth Howell. Larry Kenneth Hutchins. David Edmund Hyde. Robert Lee Hilton.
All right.
Robert H. Jackson. David Lee Johnson and Gary Lee Johnson in absentia. Harry John Johnson. David Coleman Jones. George Allen Jones. Jerry Douglas Judd. David Roston Julian. Rex Darrell Kent. Sehun Kim. Cynthia Dawn King. Arthur Edgar Kirk. Margaret Elizabeth Becky Landrum. Barry Lee Lane. Mitchell Ingram Lewis. Larry Eugene Lowe. Patricia Ann McCullough. Anthony Wilson McDade. Tommy Radin McDeris. Haroldine McNabb. Robert Kent Meese. David Eugene Mills. Alvin C. Morgan. Albert Wayne Morris. Keith Allen Motley. Michael Crockett Mullins. James Keith Newell. James Leon Nichols. James Franklin Norris III. Charles Bruce Owens. Glenn Franklin Phillips. Stanley Allen Pruitt. Sharon Darlene Proctor in absentia. William Thomas Puckett. Penny D. Pugh. Thomas N. Pugh. F. Timothy Rotz. Robert Victor Ramsey. Robert Arden Ratcliffe. John Craig Reeves. Brian William Reynolds. John Paul Reynolds. James Robert Rhodes. Kirby Earl Rich. Thomas Tennyson Robusto. Richard Andrew Rockwell. William Ray Rosser. Clark J. Rounds. Dennis Michael Sarton. C. Edward Shepherd. Timothy L. Simpson. Ginger Nell Smith. Kirby Dane Smith. Robert Milton Stalvey. Billy Starling. Timothy Earl Stinnett. James Allen Summey. David Wayne Tebbs. Twyla Weeks Thurm. Robert C. Tilley. Brandon Keith Travis. William Eldridge Truesdale. Nancy Howell Unterzuber. John Russell Vickery. David Edward Westbury. Billy G. White. Carlos Monroe White. Howard Moran Whitley. James Timothy Williams. Robert Duncan Willard. Jennifer D. Wills. James Thomas Wilson. Karen Alice Wilson. Jerry Woolery.
Degrees just conferred are Master of Divinity degrees, and there are three categories of them: the Master of Divinity with Languages, the Master of Divinity with Religious Education, and the Master of Divinity with Church Music. Two of those three categories are designated officially in your program today.
Will the candidates for the Master of Theology degree please stand? President Lawley. I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, please, as your name is called, come forward to be invested with a Master of Theology hood and receive your diploma.
Michael Cletus Blackwell. Wayne Talmud Blythe. Richard Cheryl Hips. S. Daniel Miles. Tony Gordon Moon and William Clifford Tatum, graduating in absentia. Will the candidates for the Doctor of Ministry degree please stand? President Lawley. I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Doctor of Ministry, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Doctor of Ministry, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, please, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the Doctor of Ministry hood and to receive your diploma.
Herbert Harold Heath. Richard Clint Hopkins. Kirkland Hastings Lashley. Kenneth William Robinson and Michael Allen Rowland, graduating in absentia.
Now let's celebrate with all the graduates the receipt of their diplomas and the conclusion, at least at this moment, in this phase of their studies. Now to charge the candidates, and now the recipients of their degrees, Dr. Thomas H. Graves, Associate Professor of Philosophy of Religion.
Death. It is not the consequence of an exaggerated pessimism to suggest that one of the most apt words we can use to describe the world in which you will minister is the word death. William Stringfellow has argued, insightfully I believe, that our culture is one that is shaped by death to the extent that we are in fact a people who worship death. We worship death most obviously in our attempts to base security on the weaponry of nuclear annihilation. Our futures will be lived under the shadow of a mushroom cloud, and the chances are that will not be a figurative shadow. The doomsday clock of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists is now closer to the strike of midnight than ever before in its keeping. Some recent polls have pointed to a frightening fact, that a very high percentage of young people in America today do not expect to be alive in 10 more years. Your ministry will be carried out in the midst of a culture prepared, even eager, to commit nuclear suicide. Robert Oppenheimer, a nuclear scientist, on viewing the first detonation of atomic bomb at Los Alamos, had come to his mind the words in the Bhagavad Gita, which read, "I am become death, the shatterer of worlds. Since that explosive moment in history, mankind has grown ever closer to a catastrophic encounter with death." We worship death as well in our materialistic lifestyles, when we define success in terms of those things that are tangible and gauge effectiveness in quantitative language. Our lives in the years ahead will be lived in a culture that increasingly bows itself in homage to dead things. To face the hollowness of such a materialistic existence is a dreadful thing. As a result, we cannot be distracted too much. A materialistic nation loves the hustle and bustle of modern existence because it fears being alone with itself, of having to face in silence the visage of death. In solitude, we are forced to come to grips with the lifelessness of Western culture, so we surround ourselves with material diversions, the blast of the stereo, the images of television, the action of the video game. In a world facing extinction, we have become incapable of introspection. Pascal decried the deadliness of the bourgeois culture of his day by commenting, "The chief cause of human unhappiness is that we do not know how to stay quiet and alone in our room." We have settled for the worship of death, and we've attempted to divert ourselves from the terminal nature of our foolish choices. As Pascal put it, we have turned eternity into nothing and nothing into eternity. Now, let's be very clear at this point. The death that emanates from a materialistic value system is not a problem foreign to the religious institutions you will serve in your ministry. It is just as easy to play the role of an evangelical gigolo as it is to prostitute oneself in the marketplace in our economy. In the materialistic environment, we will be constantly tempted to equate success and faith, constantly tempted to speak God's blessings in crass economic terms, constantly tempted to assess our ministerial effectiveness by looking at the quantitative bottom line. We worship death in our social structures as well, structures which systematically eliminate racial minority groups, the poor, and females from significant participation in the decision-making process. We have dealt death. We have dealt death to 50% of America's black teenagers who are now looking for work but remain unemployed. We have dealt death to our nation's migrant workers whose average life expectancy is almost one half of what yours will be. We have dealt death to the poor in our nation by pricing medical care beyond their means. As a result, we have literally dealt death to the poor. For the rate at which babies die at birth in the United States is one of the highest among all industrialized nations. Now again, let us be clear. The religious structures we will serve are not blameless. We also deal death to those racial minorities we exclude from our friendship and fellowship. We also deal death to those women whose resources of leadership we refuse to draw upon. The ecclesiastical garments of those preaching the word of life are in fact stained with death's blood. We are a society that worships death. The words of Isaiah ring true for our day. We have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. We have repeated the sin of Cain on a grand scale. We have sanctified the deed of murder. We have institutionalized the deed of murder. But in a frightful way, we have made the deed of murder so subtle we no longer see it for what it is. In his poetic renderings of Genesis, "Come, Sweet Death," Davy Napier puts these words into the mouth of Cain. "Come, Abel. How shall I kill you? Let me count the ways. Since violence is versatile and knows not only overt savage acts of murder, but subtler forms as well, aesthetic forms which spare the sight of blood, but just as surely remove the victim. Fratricide can be grotesque or beautiful. Community of brothers, sons of God, can be destroyed in crude brutality, or if one will, if one but exercise intelligence in fashion, cold and clean and rational." In Napier's words, God responds to Abel's murder with this lament. "The voice of Abel, the voice of Abel's blood is crying to me from the bloody ground, the bloody soaked ground. My son, my wounded son, my dying son, subjected to the public ways of dying and all the countless private hidden ways in battle, execution, inquisition, in lethal oven or in lethal humor, in lynching by the hand of brutal brother, or in brutal psychological exclusion, a quiet but effective form of lynching. And always wholesale murder by neglect. My son, O Christ, O Jesus Christ, my son, my dying son. We are a culture shaped by death to the extent that it is true we worship death. In Warren Beatty's Oscar-winning movie, Reds, Jack Reed turns to his newfound female acquaintance and asks, "Come to New York City with me. I'm going to New York and I want you to be there with me." Her response is intriguing. She replies, "What as?" "What as?" Reed retorts. "What do you mean, what as?" She explains, "What as? As an artist? As a writer, as a lover, as a friend, as a paid companion, what as?" He laughs off her question by suggesting she could put on a costume and come as a kangaroo for all he cared, just as long as she comes. But the question cannot be laughed off so easily. In our eagerness today simply to go, dressed in a kangaroo suit, if that's what it takes, we need to stop and ask, what as? As we leave from this place, the key question is not so much, where do we go? The key question is not so much even, what will you do? The central question remains, what as? Now, there are many appropriate responses that can be given to this question. When addressed to a Christian minister, there are many answers to the question, what as? But in light of our description of American society as a culture embracing death, it might be well to suggest one answer to that question as being, what as? Go as evangels of life, as Christian ministers in the midst of a world worshiping death. We are called to go and serve in the name of Jesus Christ as evangels of life. What does it mean to be an evangel of life? One thing it does not mean is a confusion of Christian ministry with what Russell Baker has termed the feel-good movement in American religion. The proponents of religious contentment are raising a loud voice in our day by hawking their psychological optimism and trying to transform the Christian faith into a pursuit of individual happiness. The country is overrun with the swamis of the cult of smiles who call us to be at ease in the midst of death. The contemporary emphasis upon faith as personal comfort has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be an evangel of life? It means to adopt the pattern of Christ ministry as the desire of our own lives. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to a solidarity in opposition to the forces of death in our world. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to speak the words of life-giving witness and to perform the deeds of life-giving service to those who are oppressed and held captive by death. Our ministry of life is to the poor. That New Testament term defined by Jürgen Moltmann as meaning all who have to exist physically and spiritually on the fringes of death. Go as evangels of life. In a meditation upon Ezekiel 37, Walter Wink draws our attention to that Old Testament prophet who is called to speak God's word to a captive Israel. First, he speaks the words of death. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. He declares that captive Israel is as dead. But that is only the first word. Second, Ezekiel is ordered. Ordered because he himself is embalmed, ordered to speak by God the words of the Lord's miraculous life-giving power. O dry bones, he says. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live, and you shall know I am Lord. In our present situation, we too must speak two words. First, the word of death. We must come to recognize the destructiveness of our present existence. But the second word must be spoken ever more loudly, and that is the word of God's life-giving power. Wink quotes the lines from W.H. Auden, who writes, "Nothing can save us that is possible. We who are about to die demand a miracle." That miracle is the life described by Ezekiel and vouchsafed for us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a Lord whom death cannot conquer. We who are about to die demand a miracle, and that miracle is the life-giving power of our Lord, and that miracle awaits your ministry in the life-giving service of our Savior. In the year 1976, I had the horrible experience of visiting a death camp at Dachau, Germany. The instruments of death had been honed to a skillful efficiency in that place. There remained the foundations of the warehouses where incoming prisoners were kept. There one could still see the towers where once weapons were trained upon innocent flesh. There was the barbed wire, the high wall with its electric fence, and there were the gas chambers, adjoined by a crematorium where bakery equipment had been enlarged to handle human bodies. Two scenes gripped me most that day. One was a film shown in the museum that was showing the arrival of the inmates. Getting off the trains at the death camp, they were greeted with the sight and the sound of a smiling band playing a cheerful polka, an attempt to pronounce a false contentment in the midst of despicable death. How like the playing of that band is our present generation. We are living in death's camp while the band plays merrily along. But a second scene was also imprinted upon my mind that day, and it was the site of the Jewish memorial at the far end of the camp. Built largely underground with walls and ceilings of plain black stone, the symbolism of death was obvious. The only thing in that memorial other than that black stone was on the far wall a small lamp that illuminated a small plaque that carried the small inscription, the Hebrew word, life. Life in the midst of despicable death. That is the miracle demanded by our times. In the midst of death's darkness, to go forth as evangelists of life, standing against all forms of death dealing in our society and pointing always to the one source of life, the resurrected Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel we read, "I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord. So turn and live." You are charged to go forth and serve the resurrected Lord, who continues to conquer death and who continues to give life. Go as evangelists of life.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, go with these thy servants as they go to do your bidding. Go wherever they go. Be with them wherever they be. Do whatever they do, helping them always to remember that we love them and you love them too. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen.